In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560 on this fine Monday. Thank you for joining us today. And I appreciate Andy filling in last week. I'll give you an update on where I was at and what I was doing here in a moment. But I appreciate him filling in and doing what he did on really a moment's notice. So I really do appreciate that very much. Question of the day today. 58% of people hate this sandwich. What is it? So 58% of people hate this sandwich. What is it? And you can answer that again on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. I don't have any idea on this, by the way, because there's not anything I won't eat. I enjoy most everything, and there's not a sandwich out there I will not eat. All right, in today's show, we got Jarrett Stipman joining us this first hour, going to talk about woke capital. John Ramstead, an emerging stronger through adversity. He's actually a fellow that I actually met through my brother. And we'll talk to John in the second hour, as well as my son Richard. We'll talk about some things in regards to sports, what happened over the weekend, plus women's sports and pay as well. And then David Williams is joining us, president of TPA, in the last hour. International reference pricing is what we'll talk to him about. That's a buzzword you're hearing from the Biden administration. We'll talk to him about that as well. All right, so I'll give you an update of where I was at last week. For a lot of you that have listened for a while now, most of you know, anyways, that have listened to me for any length of time at all, that my brother had a glioblastoma, brain cancer. I've talked about that a few times. And he finally lost his battle with that cancer last week. So I went back to Texas for a few days last week to spend some time with him and help my family in that through sort of those last days, if you would. Don't want to get into all the details of all of what happened, but my brother passed away on Thursday, and he was a better man than me. Let me say it that way. So, great man. Was in the ministry for a better part of 30-plus years, 35 years probably, and so no need to worry about anything along those lines. He was knew the Lord and a strong faith, and he will be greatly missed by not only his family, but a lot of other individuals that knew him through the years. But you know what? I'll see him again someday, and we're still brothers, and that'll never change. All right. And a lot of you, by the way, have reached out and have sent condolences and so on and have seen things on Facebook and other places, and I appreciate that very much. So thank you all for doing that and all the kind words that a lot of you gave to me. I do appreciate that very, very much, and very heartfelt. And we have great listeners. I don't know how else to say it. We really do. A lot of you have been very, very patient through a lot of the times that I've not been here for that reason alone. And I'll be gone a couple of days next week for his service as well. And I really do appreciate Andy and Rachel and just everybody here, Charlie, that pick up the ball and keep things going, whether I'm here or not. And I do appreciate that very, very much. So Andy, if you're listening, I cannot say enough thank you for doing all of that and just doing what you do and keeping things moving forward with the guests and so on, and the show goes on no matter what, and I do appreciate that very much. Speaking of Casa Bonita, the show there is not going on any longer, unfortunately. They are filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and, you know, Charlie, even though we make fun of it a lot over the years, it's one of those iconic restaurants that even though you make fun of it at times, we make fun of it because it's always there and it's something we can make fun of at times. And we make fun of it because is it a little cheesy? Yeah. Is the food the best, most, you know, tasteful, you know, Mexican food in town? No. Was it a great place to take out-of-towners that have never been to that area or maybe, you know, first time to Colorado and you have family and friends come? Yes. You know, the novelty of it was fabulous, and yet it's run its course. COVID, it most likely, I would say probably, was the killer of Casa Bonita, while there may have been some other things that might have contributed to that. Let's face it, COVID did not help at all. Famous for its cliff divers, a 30-foot waterfall, festive decor. It's long been a part. This is an article from 9 News. It's long been a part of Colorado's culture. It was actually in the 2003 episode of South Park. And, of course, the Denver Broncos announced some of their draft picks from there all the way back in 2018 as well. It's a 46-year-old restaurant. The future appears uncertain. It says it will be reopening soon, although when you start doing bankruptcy and things like that, time will tell. I hope they do make it, and maybe this will be a way for them to get things back on track. There's a GoFundMe page that's now been created for Casa Bonita. It's raised $14,000. It's got a $100,000 goal, and they did not respond to 9 News in this case for comment. But, you know, I do wish them the best. I hope they can reorganize and get things done and handled, although typically speaking, especially in that world, I will just say that's going to be an uphill battle for them. I do wish them the best and hope they can make things, you know, happen and they can get things back on track and get going again. But it doesn't look good right now for Casa Bonita. All right, a dumb lawsuit. Joe sent me this, by the way. The son of a California man who choked to death during an amateur taco eating contest at a minor league baseball game, is suing the event's organizers for negligence. So this 18-year-old Marshall Hutchings filed a lawsuit last Monday that his father, Dana Hutchings, was not made aware of the risks and dangers involved in an eating competition, the Fresno Bee reported. The 41-year-old died after choking on tacos while competing in the contest during a Fresno Grizzlies game on August 13th of 2019. Participants competed to devour as many tacos as possible during a certain amount of time. Now, the reason why I say this is a dumb lawsuit, and frankly a lawsuit that shouldn't even be accepted as far as I'm concerned as part of what's going on in our country, that's a problem, I believe. You're suing someone over your father's death. You're a grown man. He was a grown man. Yet you're going to sue them because your dad, quote unquote, didn't know there was a risk involved in an eating competition. Folks, I'll just make it really known in public right now. There's always a risk when it comes to a eating competition of any kind, because your body, especially if you're not one of those guys that does this on a regular basis and they know how to expand their bellies and do the things that they do, you know, like the hot dog champion, Charlie, where, you know, the guy can eat 40-some, I don't know how many, it's a ridiculous amount. Yeah, Joey Chestnut. Unless you're Joey Chestnut and you basically do this for a living, because that's what Joey does. He eats for a living, if you would. And you wouldn't know that by looking at the guy because he's not that fat. But these guys have the ability to eat and do it in a way where it does not, at least it doesn't appear to harm them. I guess we don't know what the long-term effects of this would be, but they're not choking to death, let's put it that way. On the same token, I know that if I was going to go to a competition and eat as much as I possibly could, number one, I wouldn't enter it because it's not something that even sounds remotely fun to do. But is there a risk in choking to death by eating more than you should be at a sitting? Of course, folks. Are you that dumb? We need a fine print disclaimer that says, oh, by the way, you're entering an eating contest and death might occur if you choke to death. You know, if you choke, I should say. Folks, this is just absurdity that any court, I mean, I realize you have to accept every lawsuit, and just because it's been filed and accepted and it will move forward doesn't mean that somebody won't throw this thing out. But I would hope there would be a judge smart enough to read this, look at it, and then throw it out. The problem with this, though, that happens, and this affects all of us in business, by the way, and by the way, you as a customer, is, as I've always said, the business doesn't pay the bills. You do. The customer does. So what happens here, by the way, is this organizer most likely had insurance. So they get an attorney to come along, and the 18-year-old finds someone that'll file the lawsuit. They get together. They talk to the event organizer's insurance company, the liability policy of, you know, side of that policy. They then get together and figure out how much money is there. And before it's all said and done, this thing never goes to court because they then settle out of court because the insurance company writes a check not to go to court. And in turn, they pay out. And by the way, if they do enough of that, I, as an owner, then have to pay more insurance for liability across the board because that's how this all works. Sort of like the fires we had in Colorado last year. If you think for one second all of us down the road are not going to be paying a higher price for insurance, especially fire and hazard, you're crazy. We will be. It's how the system works. So again, I call this a dumb lawsuit. It should be a frivolous lawsuit because if you don't know there's a risk in an eating contest, you're dumb as a rock. Golden Eagle Financial is up next. Where you shouldn't be dumb as a rock is when it comes to planning for your future and how that works when it comes to your finances. That's where Al Smith comes into play. He will help you with that financial planning. When you look to the future, how do you get there? How do you make it work? How do you stay there? That's where Al comes in. Call him today at 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Barber's Foods is next, folks. And I say it all the time. It literally is the best meat protein, I should say, that you'll eat anywhere. And I mean that. Some of the finest dining establishments in town use Barber's Foods, by the way, as their supplier. A lot of your high-end meat markets in town use Barber's Foods. And a lot of your, you know, specialty markets, like Lucky's, by the way, use Barber's Foods. So it's not a no-name brand by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's not a brand at all. What they are is a supplier of great, high-quality, branded meat that come from all across the country. But in a lot of cases, it's Colorado, locally owned and grown right here in our own backyard and then delivered to your table. So it's the highest quality proteins you'll ever eat since 1949. It's barbersfoods.com. That's the place to go. That's with an S, barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chill chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And Charlie was just telling me through the break that a bunch of congressmen went down to the border on their own, by the way, not any kind of a tour, if you would, but just on their own. And at the same time, while doing all of that, had to delete all of their photos from their cameras, phones, whatever they actually had there taking pictures. That sounds about like the current administration. Let's just hide everything and make sure nobody really knows what's going on. Along those lines, AOC was interviewed in regards to how do we achieve peace in the Middle East. So, Charlie, make sure my laptop's turned up real quick here. I'm going to play this. So she was on, and we talked a moment ago about dumb, frivolous lawsuits. I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, folks. I'll be respectful but honest at the same time. AOC, I realize, is a puppet, and I realize that really isn't who she claims to be anyways. I get all of that. If she didn't have someone behind her pulling the strings, there's no way she could be where she's at, and I'll prove that in a moment because I mean this sincerely. She is one of the dumbest people on the planet Earth there is, and I mean that. She really is not very intelligent. How she's made it where she's at, again, only because there's somebody behind her pulling the strings. She's what I would call a pretty face. She's able to deliver a message for those that are behind the scenes because she could not come up with anything at all when it comes to the Palestinian-Israel conflict in regards to how to solve that, which tells you that she's just not very sharp, folks. Let me just play this, and you'll know what I mean by this. Here we go.
What actions do you think can be taken to support movements towards peace, both between Israelis and Palestinians, as well as within the entire region, such as the Abraham Accords?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, earlier just now, you and I were talking about the what and the how.
Yes.
And I think that when we talk about establishing peace, centering people's humanities, protecting people's rights, it's not just about the what and the end goal, which often gets a lot of focus. But I actually think it's much more about the how and the way that we are coming together and how we interpret that what and how we act in, you know, the actions that we take to get to that what. And so what this really is about is that it's a question more than anything else about process. And so we really need to make sure that that we are valuing a process where all parties are respected and have, you know, a lot of equal opportunity to really make sure that we are negotiating good faith, et cetera. That being said, you know, I think that there's just this one central issue of settlements, because if the what that has been decided on is to stay, then the action of settlements is in, it's not the how to get to that what. And so, you know, I think that that's a central thing that we need to make sure that we center and that we value Jewish and rather we value Israeli, we value the safety and the human rights of Israelis. We value the safety and the human rights of Palestinians in that process that is similar and that on equal footing. And so all of that is extremely important in that process.
Okay, so I have something to play along those lines where in this particular case, this segment that I'm going to now play was probably played over and over and over again on mass media, not only here but around the world, because of the comments that were made, which, by the way, weren't any more unintelligent than what AOC just got done saying in that interview I just played for you. But because she's AOC, of course, it's not going to be promoted and sent around the world like this particular piece was. This is Miss Teen USA 2007, which when you compare the two comments coming out of these mouths, I'm almost thinking they're one and the same. Here we go.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
And by the way, Charlie said it's called word salad. I don't see much difference in either one of those commentaries, by the way, those answers to the question asked, I should say. They're both total, utter word, can't even put sentences together, you know. That's all that was said on both sides there, because neither one of them had any real answers as to what it takes, whether it would be Miss America pageant talking about world peace or AOC in an interview being asked about Middle East peace. AOC, as far as I'm concerned, was a tie for dumbness when it came to the clip I just played you from the Miss America pageant. Only difference in those two that I can see is the contestant for the Miss America pageant is way better looking than AOC. That's about the only difference that I see there at all. But the answers coming out of both of their mouths were pretty much equal when it comes to the meaningless factor. In other words, neither one of them had any idea what they were saying. Now, I will give the Miss America contestant more of a pass than I will AOC, because she's not trained in how to answer these things on a regular basis. She's not really trained on how to do these interviews over and over and over again like AOC has been now for the past several years. So if I'm going to give a pass to either of those individuals for the answers they gave when it came to peace, I'll pass it along to the Miss America contestant far before I'll ever pass it along to AOC. AOC should at least be able to put a coherent sentence together when it comes to Palestinian-Israeli conflicts and how we end up with peace over there. She knew what she was getting into here and what she was going to be asked, because that's how this works, folks. She never is going to come on and do any kind of a televised, whether that be a podcast, a video, YouTube, or something in the mainstream media. She's never going to do that without being first given the question. So for her to not have any answer in this particular situation, again, I will give a pass to Miss America contestant. I will not give a pass to AOC. How anyone in their right mind, in her district, could vote for her shows you the level of stupidity we have in this nation. I don't know how else to say it. I got to take a break. We're going to have Jarrett Stepman joining us here in one moment. American National Insurance is up next, folks. And Paul Leuenberger, my great friend, and he was on this past weekend helping out with Drive Radio and Fix It Radio. Appreciate Paul greatly, by the way. He would love to help you out with all of your insurance needs. It's really easy. Call him direct, 303-662-0789, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket, so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. And folks, things come up in life that we don't plan for. I know we just experienced that as a family ourselves. Fortunately, in my brother's situation, he had all this dialed in. He did have an estate in order. Things are handled. There won't be any issues that way as far as, you know, what gets left behind and who's supposed to do what. And even when it comes to even his service and how all that was planned out, all that's been done, handled. And granted, my brother had some time to make sure that was done. My point is, we all don't know what tomorrow holds. Get that done now, because you do not want to leave your family left behind. It's traumatic enough. I can tell you that right now from going through it as a family ourselves. It's traumatic enough going through this without having all of that done properly. Get it done. 720-394-6887 or go to klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't exclusively talk about death and dying. He also wants to help you plan for the rest of your life. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law protects you and your loved ones during your lifetime by establishing a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney now, while you still have all of your mental and physical capacities. That way, you and your family never need to go through the painful experience of trying to make those decisions during a crisis. Set up a free consultation with Michael Bailey now at klzradio.com/estate.
It's here. Colorado Senate Democrats formally introduced the state's budget bill for fiscal year 2021. It's projected to spend $34.1 billion of your money, which is an 11% increase from the previous year. How can this be when Polis policies have forcibly limited or closed so many businesses? Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Colorado Representative Kim Ransom, a member of the Joint Budget Committee, will dissect state spending. Plus, Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors shares updates on the business market. That's Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at KimMunson.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it. Jared Stepman joining us, Daily Signal. Jared, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. It's good to be on.
Are you woke enough to be on right now?
Definitely not nearly woke enough, but fortunately, that's not the qualification I have here. But, you know, it's for many Americans, I think they increasingly think, you know, especially when they think about their employment, their jobs, their careers, they think about that. And I think that's an unfortunate thing that in American society now that, you know, this ideology has to become the baseline for whether or not you may even get access to finance or employment.
Right.
I think that's a really scary thing.
Yeah, Charlie and I were talking a little bit about this before we came on air today, Jared, that, you know, I don't know that everyone is really looking at this the way they should be. And what I mean by that is while we look at this and think, okay, there's, you know, a few, you know, out of the millions and millions of companies that are around the world, there's a few big names that are looking at what's going on right now, and they're making these, you know, statements when it comes to, you know, election laws and so on. And by the way, Jared, they're all dumb as rocks because they haven't even read the law in Georgia. So I'm really unimpressed by every one of these companies that can't stop long enough to read the law and determine that there's really nothing there that's going to affect anyone in Georgia any way, shape, or form. In fact, if anything, it just brings tighter elections and better elections, is what I should say, with the correct outcome, which is what we all want as Americans, which is what these guys ought to be focused on. My point, though, Jared, is while we only think this is the big wigs that are out there doing this, the reality is this could affect every small business in America if we're not careful.
Oh, absolutely. It'll affect every small business in America. I think this wedding of big business, these Fortune 500 companies, and the woke activists left is what really this has amounted to in a very short amount of time. You know, they're seeing alliance with, you know, one political persuasion in this country and willingness, I think, to step into state laws, the decisions of the people of the various states, and essentially issue threats. You know, that might not just be about Major League Baseball one day. That may affect any kind of business you run in the state. When you do have powerful interests that these corporations do represent that are simply willing to exert that power on behalf of causes, many of which they don't understand, that are simply the causes of one political party. I think that's what's really disturbing about this trend. And I think it does chill many people into silence. I think that there are a lot of Americans right now who are waking up to the power and the ethos of many of these companies that I think are now abusing that power in the public sphere. And I think there will be a backlash to this because I think many think that, hey, this is my way of getting the socialists and the people on the left who want to use economic power to damage my business. Maybe we can essentially bribe them or pay them off by being woke. But the thing is when you make that deal with the socialists and those who are on the far left, I think it comes back to eat you in the end. And I think they're making a bad bet into the future, thinking this will get a lot of those who have no faith in the capitalist system, wish to see it toppled in the future, will eventually come after these companies.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to make sure that I was going to say here, Jared, to get us going as well, is as a conservative myself, I want to be careful that I don't pass judgment too quickly. And what I mean by that is just because a company sat on the call, listened to what the rest of these knuckleheads were saying, may have not said something or may have even said something in opposition that, by the way, you and I and the public will never, ever hear about if that in fact is the case. We might hear about it down the road, but we're not going to hear about it immediately. So just because someone's name as a business was on the call, I want to be careful that we don't throw them under the bus yet until we find out more info.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that an important part of this debate, this discussion, it's, you know, those who are on the conservative side or really just the anti-woke side, they need to have their voices heard. I think a lot of these companies and the people that work at them aren't necessarily happy with this direction. They don't necessarily want to go this way, but some of the most vocal, angry activists have pushed them in this direction. It's very important to remain in that arena of debate, to point out the fact that the laws that they are endorsing or attacking, that they have an incorrect interpretation of that, and winning that battle over the hearts and minds of the American people. So I think that is very important. I don't think sometimes there's this idea that, well, hey, we can just boycott these companies and they'll start doing things as we wish. I don't think that's always the case. I think they have to know that there are a lot of people in this country who are unhappy with these policies, unhappy with them meddling in state law. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very much vocal about that and push back on it.
I agree with that. And I do like your idea of, which, Jared, I will also say that I like your idea, by the way, of what you said when it comes to us, you know, stating what we know and letting them know our position and so on. The thing, though, that I find disheartening is, and I'm a leader in business, you know, myself, not to the level these guys are, and maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, Jared, but I have two eyes, two ears. I think my mental capacity is pretty decent at this point in time, even though I'm 56, Jared. I can still pretty much, you know, read and interpret what I'm reading on paper. And what I'm disappointed in a lot of these leaders, and we can talk about this, is the fact that I, as a simpleton, and I mean that, I have no college degree. I'm not college educated like a lot of these guys are. Yet I could get the bill out, read through it, look at the things that they passed in Georgia, figure out for myself whether or not this actually infringes on other people's rights or not, or if, in fact, does it just make the voting in Georgia more secure so we actually know that a candidate that wins there actually won. I can read it and determine that that's what happened. Can these other guys not read the way I do, Jared?
You know, the sad thing is maybe some of them even have, but they are so buckled under, I think, by bad media, bad press. I think that it's been really dishonest about this debate from the beginning. I think they simply, in many cases, just kind of follow the direction of the way things are going rather than actually being engaged and saying, well, no, what do I actually think about this bill? What do I think about the details of it? And unfortunately, in modern society, and I blame a lot of this on, I think, the decline of the American press, you know, the truth is really not getting out there. I mean, what we have is a lot of falses. We have a lot of lies. And, you know, if the American Republic is really going to sustain itself, I mean, it's based on finding the truth and having a system that helps us reach the truth. I don't see that at all when it comes to this debate over the Georgia law. And I find it very shameful for these companies to simply embrace a political movement without even explaining what it is that they're opposed to. I mean, they keep using this word voter suppression, despite the fact that there's no evidence that voter ID or these kind of measures actually suppress any kind of votes whatsoever. There have been studies done. And yet that's the narrative that the American people are getting, and that's a shameful thing.
I would go as far, Jared, to even say this. And if I'm wrong, and if I'm going down the wrong path, say so. I mean, I respect you greatly, and tell me if I'm completely wrong. But and maybe this doesn't apply to voting. Maybe it does. But typically speaking, the quote-unquote harder we make something in this country, typically the more people will actually go against that or try to get that done to prove they can do it. And you know, I've got numerous examples we could go through, Jared, but what I'm getting at is sometimes when you tell someone no, they try to do just the opposite to prove a point. And I'm not saying that we need to make voting so hard that what I'm saying is what's happening. What I'm saying is these guys are claiming that because we make things quote unquote more difficult, which by the way is not even being done, more people won't come out. I would say that, you know, frankly, I think the opposite is true.
It is true. I mean, people who think that their government is going to repress them are often more politically engaged and are going to go through the hoops that they have to go through if they think that that's what it requires to vote. And I think especially, you know, when I hear comparisons to this law, to Jim Crow, to me, especially somebody who has very much studied history,
it's a crime to say that.
Thing. It really is. It really is. It's so offensive to what actual Jim Crow, which was a destruction of people's right to vote, to call this law and make it any kind of connection to that is really shameful and dishonest. It distorts history for a political cause. It does injustice to what actually, to the injustices that actually did happen in the past in states throughout this country. There is no connection between the laws that are being passed here, which is a voter integrity reform bill, and Jim Crow laws. And to portray it as such, I think, really does a disservice to the American people. It's a dishonest way of debating this issue. And again, this whole issue has been buried, I think, by a lot of lies and a lot of media publications that have been unable and unwilling to actually promote this and bring information about what this thing actually is and what it could mean for them to the American people.
Yeah, and somebody needs to call these guys out on it, Jared, just like you said earlier. One, you know, a couple of them said, quote, they collectively call for greater voting access. Well, I would follow up and say, does that mean we can, you know, vote on the weekends, a couple of weekends prior to an election? Is that what you're talking about? Because, by the way, that's what they passed in Georgia.
Right, exactly. So, and large parts of that law were actually making it easier for people to vote early. I mean, that's what.
I mean, it's just so to me, I would come back to them and say, oh, you mean like this? Because this is what was passed in Georgia. In other words, if you guys would actually look at what's there and not take the narrative that the left is feeding, that this false narrative, by the way, that they're force feeding down your throats, if you'd actually stop for a second and think on your own, maybe you'd figure this stuff out, guys.
It really is incredible. It just, it makes me think, again, a lot of this is simply the reporting and how bad it is. I mean, just today, the California Senate passed legislation, which hasn't gone to the governor's office yet, to essentially reveal the names of those who signed petitions in the state of California. As you well know, Governor Gavin Newsom is under a recall currently at the moment. If there's voter suppression, revealing people's names as they vote and put them on a ticket, that is voter suppression. But I don't hear much in the media calling attention to that very fact today. And again, this goes to a lot of the media dishonesty and distortion. Is here we have an example of what appears to me to be actual voter suppression and intimidation of voters. That gets no press. A law in Georgia that does many different things. All we hear is Jim Crow, we hear voter suppression, and we don't actually get the truth. And I think that really that gets to the bottom of what the problem here is in this country and the media environment we have.
Jared, do you want a prediction on my part when it comes to some of these leaders of some of these companies?
Absolutely, go for it.
I am one, again, being in business like I am, first of all, I will tell you a lot of these CEOs get there because they're chair jockeys, nothing more, nothing less. Some of these companies are so big and so many things are already set in motion that, frankly, you know, a kindergartner could step into the role of CEO and these companies would continue to roll along just because of everything that's already been established. With that being said, though, Jared, I will tell you that as time goes by, it does take sharp people at the top to make sure these companies stay successful because nothing is too big to fail, as we saw back in 2008. And my prediction, Jared, is if these are the type of individuals that are actually running these companies, they won't be for very long because these guys will not have the kinds of returns they should have if this is as dumb as they really are.
You know, I think you're right about that. And I think there are a lot of American people right now who have their eyes opened, who are very angry. And may make a lot of decisions that these companies aren't going to like. I think their businesses are going to have a lot of trouble, especially because it becomes known which companies back this kind of tactics, these kind of threatening tactics. I think you're absolutely right that there is going to be repercussions because of these decisions, and I think in a lot of ways they don't like.
Well, and I'm going to add to that, not only because of these decisions, Jared, but I want to say this publicly. If these individuals, male and female alike, are dumb enough to believe the press and the lies that are there, not fact find for themselves and figure out what's really going on. If they're doing that in that part of the company, they will be doing that in other parts of their world, which means they're not very smart businessmen or women, Jared, and thereby they will fail on their own because if they're doing it in one area, they'll do it in others as well.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think that the hopeful part about it is that they'll be replaced by people who will understand that and will change these behaviors and attitudes. I mean, this idea that especially all these companies kind of gathering together to make these kind of collective decisions without all this information, this is going to have some terrible repercussions, I think, for these companies, I think for the country as a whole, for, I think, America's faith in a lot of these companies. So I think that they've done something really terrible, and I think the American people are aware, and they're gonna hurt because of it. Really, the country's gonna be hurt because of this.
Yeah, and I think what some of these guys are forgetting, American Express, Coke, Pepsi, others, these guys act like, Jarrett, they're the only game in town on that particular product, and the reality is they're not. There's many other competitors in their very fields where you can go and buy something else where they're not involved in this nonsense. And again, well, you know, time will tell. We'll end up seeing where this goes. I still want to make sure I throw this back in there. Everybody listening, just because a name is on the list, let's wait and see what was actually said during the call and whether they were there to observe or actually participated in some of the nonsense, Jarrett, before I actually throw them under the bus.
I think that's the right call in almost every situation, and I think it's the right call, especially when there could be potentially large consequences from this. But, you know, when that information does come out, I think the American people have a lot of decisions to make. I think they have a lot of decisions to make with their buying decisions and, yep, and where they put their money. And these are going to be important things to be sorting out in the next few years.
Jarrett, as always, I appreciate it, sir. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Have a great evening. Let's do this. A Good Shop is up next. Anything you need when it comes to collision repair, A Good Shop has you covered. And I mean that sincerely. Three locations to serve you, 720-541-7697 or klzradio.com.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Welcome back, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Appreciate y'all joining us today, by the way, on this fine Monday afternoon. And with me today is Sean from Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Sean, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you, John?
I'm doing, you know what? Considering all things, doing very well. Can't complain. And on the same token, Sean, and I told people this last week, and I pretty much not going to brag here, but I told everybody last week, don't switch those tires around just quite yet because we still got some winter left here in Colorado. And as we look to the weather this week, guess what? We still have some more winter left.
That's true. You know, April and May, they always kind of surprise us, don't they?
They sure do. And for those of you maybe that are transplants to Colorado, just remember what Sean and I both are saying. And my rule of thumb, Sean, is kind of look at the April 15th mark and kind of see what the weather looks like for the next week or so, and then determine whether you want to do anything with, you know, switching tires around or what have you. Which, by the way, I'm a big believer in, guys, everybody listening, I am a big believer in having two sets of tires. I think you get a lot better mileage and are more prepared for the seasons. I know it's a little bit more of a time hassle, I guess you could say. I don't see it as a hassle, though, Sean. Anything you do to your vehicle to keep things running longer, I don't see as a hassle. It's an investment. And I'm a big guy on running, sure, you know, summer tires in the summer and winter tires in the winter. What are your thoughts?
We do see that quite a bit, actually. It is kind of an older thought, I think. But absolutely, like you said, if you can make that investment and get two sets and, you know, save them for the summer in the winter, I think that's a great idea.
And I like what Sean just said a moment ago, folks. It is an investment. And because the way you look at it is it's not an extra expense because tires are tires. Sean, you know this as well as I. In fact, I will go as far as to say that I think you can actually save some money even with the cost of switching, knowing you're running a highway tire in the summer and a winter tire in the winter. And folks, let me explain that real quick. because every tire is going to wear, period. There's no way around it. Sean, you see this daily, that tires wear out. They're on the asphalt and the pavement and the concrete, and that's just what they do. Yeah. But you Absolutely. Can explain this probably even better than I. A highway tire typically will have a lot longer tread life to it than some of the more aggressive, you know, winter slash, you know, snow tires will.
Yeah, and you'll usually get a little bit of more warranty with those as well. But you're right. If you don't have as much as aggressive tire, then you're right. It is going to last a little longer for you.
So if you guys
but
really
not to say some of the newer ones with the aggressive, they're lasting pretty good too. But for sure, you're going to get a little bit better.
Yeah, and again, and so if you just sit down and do the math and look at, you know, I'm going to run summer tires during the summer, winter tires during the winter, and I get it, folks. There's an additional cost there to do so. You have to be able to store the tires and so on. But if you've got the ability to do that, I really am a big believer in switching those things around a couple of times a year. And we're talking to somebody, by the way, right now at Extreme Folks that can do all of that for you.
That's right. We can do it for you. We'll swap them over for you, you know, mount and balance them and check everything out for you.
Sean, when it comes to folks maybe that even want to find another set of, you know, wheels and tires, maybe some folks that have the ability to, you know, swap tires at home as far as a full set of wheels and tires go, have you got the ability to help them out in that area if need be?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. We have everything here to do, any kind of tire work you need. You know, we can even reset your tire pressure sensors and switch them over. Some people have their own set of rims. And they just want to do a rim swap, we can do that too. We can do the tire pressures and whatever you need.
Okay, so folks, again, if you're listening, Extreme Auto Repair can do all that for you. Sean, as we head into spring, I know you're heading to the mountains here lately and kind of looking around and realizing that, yeah, there's still a lot of snow up in the high country. And yet every time I make a trip up the mountain, I see people on the side of the road that evidently, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't stop to find out. But something's happened to that vehicle. What are some of these things as we head into that season where Memorial Day is not that far away? I know we'll talk to you again before then. But the reality is it's not that far away. Folks need to really be looking at what do I need to do to get out and about with, when it comes to, you know, summer and camping and all the things that we do in the summer months here in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, you definitely want to check your cooling system, number one. You want to make sure you're operating at your proper temperature there and you're not putting extra wear on the engine. Also, you know, doing your minor tune-ups, your fuel induction services, making sure you're getting the best gas mileage, especially with the gas prices the way they are right now, and they're probably going to continue to go. You definitely want to make sure you're getting the most out of your fuel system and your tune-ups. Well, you can also do factory updates and help your vehicle run better. The more you update your computer, the better it's going to run, and we can do that here as well.
So, folks, what Sean's talking about there, I want to explain for just a half a second, is like your computer, when you get that, hey, do you want to do this particular update, this patch is what it really is. The factories, the original equipment manufacturers, when it comes to whether it be Toyota, Chevy, Ford, Subaru, I'm down the list, Sean, they all have those. And every make and model out there have that. And especially when a vehicle is within, I want to say, 7 or 8 years of age, everyone listening, there's going to be updates that come along that they pull from field experience. What I mean by that is they're taking all of these experiences that all of you as customers and drivers are having, that's all fed back into the, if you will, the main brains at those manufacturers, and they figure out, wait a minute, we're having a little bit of an issue in this area. Let's fix that with a software update. And that's what these things do, Sean, and you know that as well as I. And people can get a lot better vehicle, you know, driving experience, probably is the best way for me to say that, when they do these updates.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, John, and I'm sure anymore, when you even go to look at a vehicle for a tune-up, if it's running rough, if you're having a little bit of shift point problems, everything, the first thing we do is we hook it up and we scan the vehicle, and then we can do the factory updates here. We do have all the factory scan tools that can, and we have all the subscriptions. We have Ford, Chrysler, GM, all those. So like I said, if you're having a problem, it could be something simple. You think it's probably a spark plug or something, but we can hook into the computer, take a look at it, do all the factory updates, and see if that takes care of it. And you'd be surprised as many times that takes care of your problems.
And great point, Sean. I'm glad you mentioned that, because the other thing we forget is, again, at our elevation, we have different things going on here than typically happen in other parts of the country. And so, all this information gets fed back to the original equipment manufacturer, Sean, Ford, Chevy, whoever it happens to be, and they take all that information and they can then tweak things, if you would. It's not like they're redesigning the vehicle, but they tweak that software and the inputs and outputs therein, and can get you a much better, running is probably not the best way to say that, Sean. A better performing vehicle all the way around, because now exactly. They fine-tune that after some field experience. And folks listening, trust me, this isn't much different than what Apple or Microsoft does when they put out new software. You know, they get that thing 100%. About 90-95% complete, knowing that they're going to have some things that come back in they can tweak, and they then send out these patches afterwards. And Sean, not everybody in the aftermarket like you guys can do this. That's one of the advantages of Extreme Auto Repair.
That's for sure. Yeah, we do a lot of it for other shops, and we do it for a lot of dealerships around here as well.
Awesome.
That, you know, people don't want to take them to the dealership to get it done. So, you know, we've invested in those tools so that we can do it here, so we can do everything for our customers, you know.
What's the best way to get a hold of you
like
guys, Sean?
Said, there's a 303-841-1071, or they can always go to extremeautorepair.com.
And I didn't want to cut you off. I know there's some other things there
that we
can talk about as well when it comes to those updates. It's a bigger deal than I think most people give it credit.
I would agree, yeah. And, you know, it's like you think about your computer, how often you need to update that, or your phone, like you were saying. You have almost – some of the newer vehicles have over 50 different computers that are running at all times. And if you
One
that's not, you know, updated, it could throw off a lot of systems.
That's a great point. And, again, folks, they do this based upon field experience. They then rewrite programs or adjust programs, I should say, to make the vehicle perform better all around. In a lot of cases, even going up and down the mountains we have here in Colorado. So, Sean, great stuff. I know we've taken a little bit of time there, but I think that's good information for folks to not only understand is there, but also understand that they don't have to go back to the dealer for that particular service. You guys at Extreme Auto Repair can do that for them.
That's correct. We'll take care of it for you.
Good stuff. Sean, as always, I appreciate it. You're always a joy to talk to. As we roll into summer, we'll have some more things to talk about as we get closer to Memorial Day. But, folks, get that vehicle out. Get it inspected. Get things handled. And most of all, don't be one of these people on the side of the road that I just saw this past weekend even, Sean. I mean, you see these people everywhere. It doesn't matter whether I'm here. I was down in Texas, you know, visiting family down there. And it's not just here. It's everywhere, Sean, where you see these things on the side of the road. And they're avoidable, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we always tend to put off the stuff we think we can wait, and then next thing you know, it, you know, sneaks up on us and we're stuck on the side of the road.
That's right. Sean, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
Take care, John.
Have a fabulous April, man. I'll talk to you in May.
Likewise.
All right, man. Okay. Take care. That's Extreme Auto Repair. We really appreciate those guys joining us. And as always, you can find them at klzradio.com, or you can also go to you can call direct 303-841-1071, 303-841-1071. Up next, it's Novus Auto Glass, where I know we talk a lot about automobiles here, mainly because I'm kind of that car guy, and it's what I do, it's what I've always done. And you know what? I know good companies when I see one, and that's when Novus Auto Glass approached me to be one of our main sponsors. I said, yep, I know you guys. There's a great history there. These are family-owned and operated businesses that want to take care of you and all of your auto glass needs, much like Extreme Auto Repair does on the repair side. If you're looking for an auto glass shop that can handle all of your repairs and all of your replacements, and they work with all the insurance companies, go to Novus Auto Glass. Find them at rushtoreason.com, and there's a link there for Novus. It's Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/rushtoreason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And again, thanks to Sean and the guys at Extreme, great sponsors. They take great care of all of the individuals I know that go out there, you guys as listeners. They've been doing that for a very long time, and I appreciate them taking time out of their month to join us and just give us some updates of what's going on. Anything you need for your vehicle, though, especially go to Extreme Auto Repair on the south end of town. They'd love to take care of you, and I mean that. I know these guys personally. They're just good guys. All right, this next hour, we've got John Ramstead joining us, and he's a friend of a friend of mine, and we're going to talk about a new book he's got out, Beyond Influence. And we're going to talk about emerging stronger through adversity, the three keys to owning your purpose, especially in difficult times, and how do I lead my company and my people through times of rapid change, which, by the way, we're in right now. So we'll be right back. Hour number two is next. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. But hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.